Our gracious Father, this morning I kneel before your throne, for I consider myself unworthy and incapable of preaching. I surrender, Lord, and humble myself to you, that you may be exalted, that you, Lord, will be the one who will do the work. May I just be a simple instrument on your hands. May I just be a nail that has been nailed on a wall where the most beautiful picture of Jesus will be hanged and everyone's eyes will be turned to Jesus. Lord, I just ask you that you will bless me and bless the congregation and speak to us, Lord, that we may see the beauty of that which you have prepared for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Some weeks ago, it was a Friday night, and usually Friday night, if we don't have people at home or if we don't, we're not doing something, all my kids, myself and my wife jump in bed. And it's a very crammed situation. But we've done it always, and so, you know, my girls, though they are teenagers, they just like to come and get in bed. That this evening, my wife was not yet in bed, and there was Jonathan and Rebecca with me. And we were reading books, and suddenly Jonathan began to play a game. And the game was that I was to guess how many fingers he was either holding or pointing upwards. And he would put his fingers under the covers, and then he will say, "Okay, Dad, how many fingers?" And I'll just start playing, and I wouldn't be able to guess. And if I guess, then it was my opportunity. But then it dawned on me, oh, I'll ask the Lord to tell me how many fingers he's holding. And so, Rebecca was reading. Rebecca, she's a reader. She reads and reads. Our kids all love reading, but Rebecca is the one that she can read a whole book like that in one day, or less than that, 4 hours. You know, she jumps in the car, starts reading, and then I said, "Did you finish the book?" "Yeah, well, I'm reading in the car, Dad." It takes me hours, days, months to read a book. Not Rebecca. Well, she's the reader. But she's reading there, and then Jonathan says, "Okay, Dad, how many fingers?" And I close my eyes, and I say, "Lord, how many fingers?" And he says, "Two." I says, "Two." I said, "How did you know that I had two fingers?" I said, "I asked the Lord." And Rebecca says, "Ah, that's cool, Dad." And so then, you know, I say to Jonathan, "Okay, how many fingers, Jonathan?" And he can guess, and eventually he guesses. And then he says to me, "Okay, Dad, how many fingers?" And I close my eyes and say, "Lord, how many fingers?" "Three. Three fingers." "How did you know?" You know, this big surprise. And so at the end, my mind got really excited. We were laughing and cracking jokes. And he says, "No, let's try again." And he put his hand under the blanket and says, "How many fingers?" But my mind was so excited I couldn't hear the voice of God. So I got it wrong. And, this morning I'd like to share with you the Bible truth that God wants us to hear his voice. And even more than that, that it is an absolutely essential part of the Christian life to actually learn to hear God's voice and to be guided by it. If you come with me to the book of John, chapter 10, John chapter 10, verses 1 through to 5. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. It's very interesting in these verses because the Bible is denoting, dear friends, that there is a relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. And there is such an intimate relationship between this shepherd and his sheep that when the shepherd speaks to the sheep recognize his voice and willingly follow him. Yet when a stranger speaks to the sheep, they do not follow. They will not follow a stranger. Why? Because they don't know him. They do not know his voice. And this parable of the sheep and the shepherd is used by Jesus as an illustration between the relationship that must exist between him and his followers. Could it be that today there's so much confusion amongst Christians and Seventh-day Adventists? Could it be that we are so easily deceived and led astray? We hear the voice of strangers and we are confused and we follow because we do not know the voice of our Savior. You see, dear friends, when you and I are in sin, when our life has not been converted, when we are not transformed, when we haven't surrendered to Christ, there's multitude of voices that we hear and we follow. Yet in that state, it's so hard to hear the voice of God, but through conscience, through our mind, the Lord has spoken to us. He has enlightened our understanding, and he has brought us to Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, you are here this morning because consciously or unconsciously, you have followed the voice of Jesus. If you had not, you would not be here. Let me tell you, if you are visiting the church this morning, maybe this is the first time you are sitting among Seventh-day Adventists. You are here not because someone invited you. That someone invited you, but in the mind, God spoke to you and impressed you that you should be here, and you obeyed that voice. And you say, well, I'll come. I'll give you a go. I want to go and see what you guys are like. You're responding to the voice of God. As a matter of fact, God is constantly speaking to his children all day long. But Satan has so crowded our life with noise that we have not been able to detect or learn to differentiate the voice of God. Satan knows that if he leaves our mind at rest, if we can have peace and quietness, the voice of the Lord will become clear and we will identify it. And so what he does? He makes us so busy. He makes us so entertained. He makes us so occupied with life that we have no time to hear the voice of the Lord. And sadly, that is not only for the unconverted. Sadly, that is the greatest tragedy that is happening amongst us today. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you, in the quietude of your soul, knew that Jesus was speaking to you? When was the last time that you, in prayer, entered into the presence of God and you conversed with him as to a best friend? When was the last time that you knew exactly what God wanted of you because he had told you personally? Today, so many people do not know what to do in life, what direction to follow. They do not know whether to go this direction or what direction. They are confused, even Christians. Why? Because we do not know the voice of our shepherd. It is absolutely crucial. As a matter of fact, if you do not learn this essential part of the Christian life, I guarantee you, sooner or later, you will end up wrecking your Christian experience. I want to stop there in this chapter 10 and those verses that we read, and I want you to notice that the sheep have learned to follow who? They are following the shepherd. Who is the shepherd? Christ Jesus, isn't he? Let me tell you, dear friends, that the sheep learn to follow Jesus. They are not to follow any other man. Pastors are not the ultimate shepherd. We are under pastors that must take the sheep to Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, eventually every Christian must grow to the point of maturity where he learns to follow Jesus on his own. Amen. And man does not become a crotchet. Sadly, many times, And I'm seeing it now. There are some people here at church that are upset because Pastor Sam is leaving at the end of the year. Dear friends, whether I live to at the end of this year or at the end of 10 years, one day the Lord will take me away. And it is not for you to be upset, because I have taught you in the last 5 years to follow Christ Jesus. If I have failed to do so, I have failed in my ministry to Penrith Church. If I, the day I leave this church, there's a whole group of people that say, oh, you know, Pastor Sam left, I gotta leave. My ministry here failed. Because the Lord has not called you to follow a redhead. God has called you to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Your love, your passion, your allegiance must be to Christ, not to me. Is that clear? Oh yes, there'll be emotions at the end of the year and all that. But when I depart, we must continue to be friends and brothers, because that's all we are. Is that clear, friends? You are not following a man. You are not following an institution. You are following Christ Jesus. And the sooner you learn that lesson, and the sooner you spend the time getting to know His voice so that you know exactly what He wants for your life, the better you're going to be. In chapter 10, the Lord Jesus continues to say in verse 16, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd." Verses 26 and 27, "But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." What is the characteristic that in chapter 10 identifies a true sheep? There is sheep that belong to Jesus, and there are sheep that do not belong to Jesus. What is the characteristic that identifies them? It is the fact that Jesus' sheep hear His voice. And let me tell you, dear friends, the art or the reality of hearing God's voice is a literal reality. It is something that God wants to give everyone of His sheep. Amen. Is that clear? Sometimes we think that only very spiritual people can hear the voice of God, and that's true. But God expects everyone to be very spiritual. True? Why is it that some sheep follow Jesus and others don't follow Jesus, according to chapter 10? What makes the difference? Because one hear His voice and follow, the other ones don't hear His voice. Let me ask you a question. Again, do you hear His voice? In the last few months, more than half a year, we've spent our time on the subject walking with God. And I have taken you from the point of being an unconverted, untransformed soul, to the point now where you can have a personal, intimate, deep relationship with your Heavenly Father. God can talk to you, friends. It doesn't take to be schizophrenic to hear the voice of God. True. Sometimes I'm afraid to tell people that I hear God's voice. Pastor Sam, how close do you hear God's voice? How? Well, so much so that he can tell me how many fingers my son has under the bed. Isn't God interested in doing that? I believe that he was not doing that to show me he can speak to me. I believe that he was doing that to impress the mind of my children, that he can talk to them too. Because one of my dreams is to make sure that my kids also learn to do this. And so a couple of weeks ago, a sister from one of the Spanish church that I'm looking after, we were coming back from the snow, and she says, Pastor Sam, I've got some box of fruits and stuff like that for the center. Could you come and pick it up? Sunday night, it was raining. And where do you live, sister? And she told me, Pennant Hills, and okay, I know how to get there. I didn't know exactly the address, and I didn't have a street directory, and I didn't have my GPS. But I have the divine GPS. It's a lot better. The clouds can never block it. And so we were on the Hume Highway, Hume Highway. Great Western Highway. Great Western? The one that takes you from Penrith all the way to the city? Yeah, Great Western Highway. And so I was sitting on we were sitting on the set of lights, and I asked the Lord, I don't have this. Would you take me? He says, yes, I'll take you. I said, my wife was driving, so I said to my wife, the Lord impressed me, turn left here. Okay, turn left here. And so we turned left. And it was on the street where the Polish church is. Okay, and so we followed up the road. You were with us, Troy, weren't you? And so we turned left, and then, Lord, what do I do now? I've told my wife, that I'm going to turn left, and I don't know where I'm heading. I said, that's all right. He was quiet, and eventually we came to a set of lights, and he says, turn right here. So I said to my wife, turn right here, and then I looked the name of the street, and it was Dunheath Road, exactly the road that we were looking for. Can he? Is he interested to communicate with us that way? Why is it so important to learn to hear God's voice? It's absolutely crucial. Notice in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. This is in the temptation of Satan, in the temptation of Jesus. Satan is tempting Christ to convert the stones to bread. And Jesus says to Satan, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. How does man live? How do we live, friends? We live by the word of the Lord. Amen. And so if we live by the word of the Lord, we need to identify that word. True? And notice that it says every word. That word every demands that the words of the Lord is not only one form that he speaks, but there is a plurality of ways by which God speaks to us. Yes? Let us identify some of the ways that God speaks to us. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God who at various times and in various ways, notice the next word, spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. What did God do to the prophets? He spoke to them. And today we have that recollection of God's word, and it's called the sacred scriptures, the Bible. And so let me tell you, dear friends, when you open the Bible and when you read the scriptures, God is speaking to you. Because this is God's word. Amen? And it is the collection of God's revelations through his prophet to mankind over a period of 4,000 years. And so when I sit down, this is the ultimate word of God. There is no noise here. When you open the pages of the scriptures and you read them, every word here comes from the Lord. Amen? Satan tries to confuse us by saying, oh, you know, inspiration and that some words here and that, oh, maybe the prophets added their own words. Never. The Bible is the word of God or is not the word of God. Amen. And if it is the word of God, we as sheep have only one duty, is to hear what the Lord says and follow. Amen. Did you hear that? Amen. Amen? Only one duty, the sheep must follow. The sheep doesn't tell the shepherd, hold on shepherd, I think you're leading us to the wrong pastures. We are going down this road. What do the sheep do? The sheep hear the voice and follow. The Bible must remain forever as the ultimate test for everything else that is called God's Word. My impressions of what God tells me to do must be tested by the Word of God. If someone raises saying, I am a prophet, must be tested by the Word of God, because the Bible has been tested through history. The Bible has been tested and proven beyond doubt that it is the Word of the Lord. Amen? No human voice, no institution's voice must be accepted above the authority of the Scriptures. The Bible is the ultimate word of God. If the Bible says in 6 days the world was created, that's it for me. Because the Lord has spoken. Amen? Amen. When we meddle with the word of God, you are meddling with your eternal life. When you are meddling with the word of God spoken to you through the Scriptures, let me tell you this, friends. It could be the time that comes that you will be so confused that you will no longer be able to identify the Bible as the Word of God. And then you are lost. The best place for us to be is like a little child. It's like a sheep. The Lord says, come, follow me. What are we to do? Follow him. The second way that God speaks to us is found in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. Now let me say something, dear friends. The spirit of prophecy says when a minister stands in the pulpit and faithfully expounds the word of God, God has spoken. Not that the man is God, because I'm not. But when the man is a vessel by which God can communicate his message, God has spoken. Let me tell you this. It should be that every Adventist brings their Bible to church and a notepad, and they take careful note of what the minister has said, because God is talking to his congregation, to his children. And when the Lord speaks, we should take note. Amen? How many sermons I have preached in the last 5 years in Penrith? How many do you remember? How many are we practicing? Wouldn't it be sad, dear friends, that a church who has had so much light, so many blessings, a church that the Lord has taken so far and has given so many privileges, would be left in darkness if the word of God is rejected? There is a formal hearing of the word of God. We call ourselves by a name and we do a certain set of duties and we think we are fulfilling the word of the Lord. But there is a living hearing of the word of God where what the Lord says, that I shall do in spite of what it costs, how much it may take, how difficult it may be. Do you understand what I mean? As a people here in this little church here, friends, we have had great privileges. We've been revived. We have seen mighty miracles. Have we? The Lord has manifested Himself in our midst. I ask you, Penrith Church, what are we doing with the privileges the Lord has given us? The second way that the Lord speaks to us is found in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. It says this, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." I call this voice of the Lord the voice of providence. And the voice of providence is the Lord working in your life and speaking, let's say, in an indirect way, where He takes your life and He begins to direct it through the path that He has chosen for your life. And sometimes when we are not studying the Word of God, when we are not reading the Spirit of prophecy, when we are not tuned to the voice of the Lord speaking to us, what happens is that the voice of providence confuses us because we do not know what the Lord is doing. In the last few months, in the Cannot Be Hidden, we have gone through a period of turmoil. We tried to purchase the first property and we lost $100,000. We tried to purchase Bilpin, the wellness center, and we lost $100,000 and the Lord closed it. Having a waiting line of people until January next year. Many I have heard have become discouraged and think that God is no longer leading. But I know the Lord is leading because I have spent hours in the presence of the Lord and the Lord has confirmed that He's leading and that He'll give us Australia and the South Pacific. Amen. But when we hit these things, darkness surrounded us and Satan began to attack the different ministries of Cannot Be Hidden. Discouragement took place. Darkness set in our minds. You know, we didn't know what was going. And so I would take my backpack, you know, with my Bible and my hymn book and go to the bush and sing until the darkness would leave and I could communicate with my God. And He would say, "Everything is fine. I'm in control." But I needed to learn to trust in the Lord, to trust in His providence, in spite of the fact that nothing appeared to go right. In spite of everything that was telling us that it looked like the ministry was shutting down. I was to hold on to the hand of God because the Lord must teach me to rely upon Him even though I may not understand what He's doing. Because as a sheep, I must not ask why. I must just simply follow. And the biggest lesson that a Christian can learn is to shut his mouth and follow. Because when the Lord didn't pay for Bilpin, I went to the bush and I say, "Why, Lord? Why?" I was angry. I was devastated. I had put all my confidence. I had spent a day and a night in prayer. And I was sure the Lord was going to provide the funds. And the funds didn't come. I was devastated. I didn't know what to do, where to go, what direction to take. I thought everything was finished. But the Lord reassured me that He was going. He is ahead and that He is leading. And therefore, through a spirit of prophecy quote, He taught me, I must not ask why, I must just simply trust. I must just simply look through the darkness and believe that my God is opening the sea for me. Do you know what I mean? And that is the voice of providence. When God takes your life, what is happening around your life, and He gives her a twist that your mind does not understand, and you just simply have to take hold of His hand and say, "Lord, I trust You." And let me tell you, in this experience of Bilpin has been to me personally, and the loss of Bilpin and the loss of Roosevelt in regards to funds has been the greatest blessing that has happened in my life, because I have learned to trust the Lord without asking why. I don't understand. Now we see the tide turning around. You're going to advance. And last week, I went to the bush and I said, "Lord, I surrender the ministry. If you want to close it, that's fine. If you want to close everything, that's fine. With me, I'll be happy. But I'm going to push and I'm going to work and I'm going to give my best to keep it open until you tell me that you will close it. I've surrendered. Dear friends, the voice of providence is the most difficult voice to follow because you've got to learn not to ask why, but to just simply say, Lord, I believe you're in control. Amen?
Amen.
You may be going through difficult circumstances at the moment, financially, relationship-wise. Your life may be in turmoil. And in your mind, you may be saying, why? Let me say this, friends. If you believe that Jesus is your Savior and that God is your Father, trust that He has your life in His hands.
Amen.
And that He will lead you to the point where He wants you to be. Do not ask why. Just simply say to the Lord, Lord, I surrender this circumstance to you. You do with me whatever you want.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Are you going through suffering at the moment? Praise the Lord! Because He has chosen suffering. As I said to you, you know, a couple of sermons ago, suffering is the closest communion to Jesus. Praise Him! Thank Him for suffering. Are you going through relationship problems? Let the Lord take you through, friends. Surrender your life to Him and let Him be the Lord of your life. Let the circumstances of your life be mastered by the great captain that has not lost one sheep. Amen? Let Him be your captain, friends. The third way that Jesus speaks to us is found in Psalm 32 and verse 8. And I know that the experience that I've just spoken about cannot be here and is the same. I know that my brother-in-law has gone through the same. Michael and Karina have been beaten by Satan the same way. You know, Hayden and Emma. We've all felt an amazing pressure to get discouraged. But the Lord has redeemed us. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And why do I talk about cannot be hidden? Because that's where my life is lived. That's where I'm seeing the miracles and everything. I'm not trying to advertise it. But cannot be hidden. Penrith, let me say this to you. Cannot be hidden. It's a child of Penrith.
Amen.
I may leave from Penrith at the end of the year. It'll be sad the time when the mother says to the child, I no longer want you. Will it? Okay. Psalm chapter 32 and verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I want you to notice there is a big difference between the verse that we read before and this verse. Here the Lord says, I am going to instruct you personally. I'm going to take a direct personal interest in your life and I'm going to show you and teach you exactly the way you should go so that there is no doubt the direction you need to take in life. And if you come with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 30 and verse 21, we find the following promise, this magnificent promise that the Lord teaches us regarding the way He will instruct us to go. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. Isaiah 30, verse 21. That's not the text I'm looking for. Ah, yes, 21, yes. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it.
Amen.
Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. How will the Lord instruct us, friends? How is He going to instruct us personally, individually? How is He going to do it, friends? He's going to instruct us through a word behind our head saying, this is the way, follow ye in it. And so this is what I want to encourage you to learn to do, dear friends. You must learn like a true sheep. Learn to hear and identify the voice of your shepherd, the voice of your Savior. You must learn to identify the voice of Christ so that now that you know it and identify it, you will be able to hear it in the midst of the most peaceful setting or in the midst of the most turmoilsome and noisy place. Now that you know Pastor Sam Braga, and if I saw you in the midst of the shopping center in Penrith, and I called your name, would you recognize me? Would you turn around looking for me? Yes or no? Yes. Why? Because you know my voice. Jesus has a voice. And when he speaks to you, you can hear it. Why is it that we don't hear it? Why is it that we don't hear it? Come to the book of Psalm 143 and verse 8. Psalm 143 and verse 8. Cause me to hear your loving kindness. When are we going to hear his loving kindness? In the morning. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. The only way to learn to hear God's voice, the only way to learn to identify the voice of Jesus, is to spend time with him. If you do not spend time with Christ, if your prayers are rushed, if your prayers are formal, you will not hear the voice of Jesus as it is your privilege to. It is the duty, the privilege of every Christian to enter into the Lord's presence every morning and to live in that presence. You know, before when I used to pray in the morning, then I used to say amen. Now I no longer say amen. Because for me, the amen was the finish of my prayer and I got out of it. Now I just say to the Lord, Lord, come with me. And I continue to walk with the Lord the rest of the day. But it is absolutely essential to tune your ears, to tune your mind to the Lord when in the morning. But you say to me, but Pastor Sam, I'm not a morning person, I'm a night person. Well, you'll have to change that person. Because the Bible says that it happens in the morning, friends. In the night, it's too late, you're too tired. In the afternoon, you are too busy. Your mind is too occupied. Your mind is engaged in something else. You cannot tune to the Lord. It's too late. We should develop practices of getting up early in the morning to spend at least an hour with the Lord. An intimate hour with Jesus where it's only you and him and nothing else. And I taught you how to pray through the sanctuary, remember? And through the sanctuary you can enter into commune with the Lord, and when you come to the table of the showbread, it's just you and Christ sitting at the table and having a love relationship. Talking about everything and anything that goes in your life. It is there that I ask the Lord my questions. What should I do? Should I speak to this person? Should I send this email? Do you want us to go ahead with this? Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to do this? Sometimes the Lord impresses me, I want you to give this to that, or I want you to go and buy that, or I want you to take the lecture this morning from this perspective. My sermons, I don't prepare them. It's the Lord who tells me what to preach. And once he tells me, I will either type them down or just preach straight out of the scriptures. Dear friends, it is the privilege not only of Pastor Sam, because he's a pastor, to hear the voice of the Lord and to know how to walk with the Lord. It is the privilege of every single individual at church to have the great privilege of walking, hearing the voice of Jesus. But the thing is, will you take the time? I often go to the bush. I retreat. The day before Bilpin was sold, or Bilpin, we're trying to, I went to the bush for the whole afternoon, and then that night I spent the whole night in prayer, seeking for the Lord. Marvelous communion. When you think that you have done, that the Lord impresses you something and you go to His presence, and this thing doesn't turn the way you thought it should have turned, and you go to His presence and He's put His arms around you and He says, "My son, I love you and you have acted according to my will." Nothing can change that. When you do right and you know that you have done right because the Lord approves you, nothing can pay for that. Let all men come against you and speak of you whatever they want, but you know that you have done what is right because the Lord has shown you that it's right. You are approved by the Lord when you are in His presence, and you are rebuked by the Lord when you are in His presence. Many times the Lord takes me to passages of Scripture to show me my defects of character, or to encourage me, to show me promises, to direct my paths. Scriptures that I have read before but have gone out of my mind, He brings them, He gives me quotes, and He gives me direction. So now I take my Bible and my hymn book, I take both of them to the bush with me every morning. I don't go to the bush every morning, but when I go to the morning. And when I, for example, last week I was sick, I couldn't go to the bush. It's as if someone had taken a leg from me. But you may not have a bush to go to, but you have a Jesus to go to. Dear friends, Jesus is present everywhere. When you kneel in front of your chair or next to your bed, you're talking to Jesus. Spend time listening to His voice. And when you feel an impression, you realize at first, I was confused. I didn't know what to do. But I made the decision I was going to follow what I was being impressed by. And the more you obey it, the clearer it becomes. What should we do when we hear the voice of the Lord? Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me." What does the Lord expect us to do when we hear His voice? We are to obey what He's asking us to do. Here He's knocking at the door and He's asking us to let Him in. What is the reaction of the sheep? Open the door. Notice in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. When you enter into such deep relationship with the Lord, when you sit to dine with Him, now the skies is the limit. The Lord will teach you His will. He'll direct you to the Scriptures. Your mind will be enlarged. Your love for Him will become strong and deep and warm. You'll have a passion for Jesus that no one can take because you are living with Him. Why is it that so many of us are so cold, distant, formal? It's because we have not discovered the depths of communion that we can have with Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." And then it says there, "And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Who is the rock? Christ Jesus. How must you be founded on that rock? If you hear His word and you obey it, you follow it, you give your heart to do what the Lord has told you, then you are founded on the rock, and doesn't matter what comes, doesn't matter who turns on you, doesn't matter what happens in your life, your Christian experience will remain strong, will never come crashing down, because it's Jesus who is sustaining you. You see the experience of Daniel, who remained alive and remained in a positive power for two different kingdoms, so many monarchs. That man who came to Babylon young, he knew what it meant to hear the Lord's voice. He knew what it meant to surrender. He knew what it meant to obey. And the Lord put him in the highest of places, and he brought three of the highest powers to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll be in heaven. Dear friends, he who hears the sayings of mine and does them, I will compare him to a wise man. So many of us are forgetful hearers. We hear the sermons. We read the Word of God. We read the Spirit of prophecy. We are guided by God through the circumstances of life, or even hear His voice, yet we have a stubborn heart and we do not do the things the Lord has taught us to do. And the Lord Jesus says, but everyone who hears the sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great it was its fall. Jesus is telling us here that both on the true Christian and on the not so true Christian, the disasters will come, the rains will fall, the winds will blow, and life will come upon us, dear friends. But there is a big difference between he who hears and obeys and he hears and does not obey. When you hear, you must surrender. You know, I loved white bread and sugars. And I love to eat sometimes junk food. One morning in prayer, the Lord said to me, Sam, I don't want you to eat this and that anymore. For 20 years, no, not 20 years, for 16 years, my wife had been telling me so. Now, I had to surrender my pride. But that day, I decided that I would never eat those things again. And I gave my heart to the Lord and I asked Him, take them from my heart. I made a decision to obey. Now, I have mucked it up sometimes. But let me tell you, my decision is made. What happened? What it happens? The Lord will have me no eating white bread, no eating any more sugary stuff and rubbish. It will be gone. Because I've made a decision to obey. And the Lord will make it a reality in my life. Amen. When the Lord speaks, let Him be Lord and let you be a sheep. And a sheep hears, obeys, and follows. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What are you going through at this moment? Are you being beaten up by the floods and the winds and the storms? Is your house ready to fall? Could it be that you have heard the voice of the Lord and not followed it? Could it be, dear friend, that you have turned away from the duty clearly marked by the Lord and you're running away from Him? Is it your house being beaten up, but you know that you're standing on the will of the Lord? You know that you're doing what is right? Do you know that you have surrendered and entered into a covenant relationship where Jesus is Lord and you are just simply dead? If that is the case, if the winds are blowing and the house is getting shaken and there are some roof tiles that are blowing, let it blow because your house won't fall. Stand assured that you will stand in Christ Jesus and He will protect you and He will make you shine in the last day, because those who understand shall shine like the stars of the firmament forever and ever. But if your house is standing on the sand and you're a disobedient child, if you're standing thinking that everything is all right when you know there are duties that you are left undone, that have clearly been pointed out by you and by the Lord and His Word, or impressed in your mind through prayer, and you have not done them, then be afraid, because your house will fall. Sooner or later, will fall. In the name of Jesus, I ask you, Are you hearing the voice of the Lord? If you're not, the Lord is inviting you today and saying, come apart. I want to take you aside. And I want to teach you my voice so you recognize it. Take the word of God as the ultimate authority. Take the spirit of prophecy as your counselor. Go ahead, dear friends, and let the Lord order the circumstances of your life. Do not ask why. Just simply let Him be Lord. But now you need to know His voice. You need to spend time with Him until the voice of Jesus is so clear, so natural, that when He speaks, you will surrender and you will follow. Let us pray. Father in heaven, this morning in the name of Jesus, I bring my sheep, those who you have given me to bring to you as the great shepherd. I pray in the name of Christ, the Lord, that you will, through your Spirit, Lord, teach every one of these little sheep of yours the signs of hearing you. And when they hear you, give them a heart that will obey you. That, Lord, every person here may stand in the hour of trial and know that Jesus is their protector and that they have nothing to be ashamed of because they are following you, the great shepherd of the sheep. Lord, bless us with your presence. May we learn to walk day by day with you, not running ahead of you, but just simply like sheep, following you. Until the day you take us into your kingdom, it is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Scripture taken from the New King James Version, copyright 1982 by Thomas Nelson, INC. Used by permission, all rights reserved.